Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And good evening, all. How are you? I hope everybody this Friday evening, June 5th, is finding themselves wonderfully content and feeling well. And Lisa, are you with me?
I'm with you.
I am so excited tonight because we're talking to Mr. Ed Fitch, who has, you know, he's been a fixture in the pagan community for a very long time, and he's written, author of at least 5 or 6 books that I can think of off the top of my head. And I've actually looked at a short bio of his, and we have lots of things to talk about. Right now, he's interested in. Well, you know what? Let's bring him in, and let him talk about it. Yep.
Oh, Ed, good evening. I'm here.
Hi.
And hello, ladies.
Yep. Ed, this is Lisa. I know you and I had a chance to speak briefly the other night. Lisa, meet Ed. Ed,
hey.
Meet Lisa.
Nice to meet you.
No, it's I have been involved in holistic health matters and organic foods for a very long time. I grew up on a ranch and a farm, and by definition, we had large gardens. And as a matter of fact, the Virginia farm, my mother always told me that during the Great Depression, the kids might not have had any shoes, but they definitely had all the food that they could ever eat. And they had milk straight from the cow. And I think probably about a half-acre garden over there. Very nice indeed, very nice.
Beautiful.
And so I grew up in that. I grew up with that as a background.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was straight over from the old country, from Russia.
And, oh, wow.
And she came up with a few things that I realize now are that I had never heard any other place since. But she had commented that, you know, an ordinary man will walk through the woods and he'll step over a plant. A wise man will look down at it, pick it carefully, and then take it back with him because it's a very valuable herb.
Mm-hmm.
And a favorite statement of my grandmother was that if you knew enough about the herb, you could live forever. I don't think she quite was able to, but never mind. The feeling was there.
Mm-hmm.
Your feeling was?
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, the more, and it's funny because I was just having a conversation this weekend with a friend about, or this today with a friend about, you know, the importance of eating vegetables and greens and how we've so gotten away from it in this country. And, you know, one of my taglines is eat the rainbow. You know, when you look at your plate, it should be colorful. You should have lots of different stuff on it. Because
you can tell them it was me. It was me. I got the lecture today. It was good. No, it was really good. I needed it.
Okay.
But so Ed, tell us a little bit. You told me a little bit the other night about how you came to feel so strongly about self-care and taking care of ourselves and, you know, eating right and getting exercise. If you'll share that with us, that would be great.
Well, again, I grew up with it. I grew up with natural foods, and we had a certain amount of canned and a certain amount of food bought at the market. But mostly we grew our own, and even some things were a little bit entre. Like, for example, when my uncle shot a mountain lion that had been predatorizing our flock, he sampled a bit of the meat, and it was, will you believe, a mountain lion's meat is sweet, very sweet indeed. And that surprised me. I've never known anybody else to see that or understand it. Mm-hmm. And as far as it goes, I enjoyed reading books constantly. And what was it that one of the famous British prime ministers said, when I want to read a good book, I write one. So when I found that I couldn't find everything that I wanted, I began taking notes, and I have got copious notes on paper and on the computer. There's so much out there that is worthwhile. Even mm-hmm. some of the, there is an herb-based drink, a very powerful cordial from the northeastern part of France, called Chartreuse, that was supposed to be, in its original form, a potion of immortality, and the drink had originally about 273 herbs in it, and the records of it, if they exist, it's only in this abbey, which still exists in northeastern France. Let me see if I can find something on this over here. Looking at this one over here, actually the abbey decided that the monks decided that they needed to make some money, because after all, you know, as the 20th century rolled through, they couldn't count on the church to provide them with money, so they began bottling this this immortality potion. But they left out significantly 2 to 3 of the 200 and some odd herbs that were in it. I'm holding a bottle of it in my hand right now. It's potent stuff. But again, the moral of the whole thing is that herbs were believed to be the key to immortality and to healthy health and wellness and all the rest of it. So, and if you can't afford anything as exotic as that, hey, eat well. And I was with the military for a good bit of time, and I was inculcated with the idea of, okay, when possible, eat good food, get lots of good exercise, and get lots of fresh air. Which I think is whatever profession or whatever trade you have, that's probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw in your bio that you were in the Air Force. Terry was in the Air Force too. So he when we were talking about it, he was like, "Oh, tell Ed I was in the Air Force too." We're both
Air
Force
graduates.
Yeah.
When I was stationed in Vietnam and Thailand, that the locals there had a fantastic amount of herbs that I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. And I have always wanted to go back to one of those countries and find out more about it, find a shaman or a wise woman who knows exactly mm-hmm. what some of these are for, because the people make good use of it, but let's face it, Americans don't have access to a lot of these herbs.
That's
and
true.
Some of the best herbs that we have come from the third world, from far mm-hmm. out in the jungles, and to be perfectly honest, if you don't know what you're doing, they can be very dangerous. So consequently, you must be prepared properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, am I covering the entire area too wide, or what else?
No, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. So I know that recently you have sort of championed the concept that pagans need to get more fit. As a group.
Actually, in the 1960s and 70s, we were all very sleek-looking, and so many of us looked like characters out of a Boris Vallejo painting or something like that. We are not quite so heroic-looking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Males are unfortunately the females, and so consequently, the best you can do is to hold on and exercise, eat properly, and hey, I find that I am usually mistaken for being about 20 or 30 years younger than I am, which I think is the rate of the result of eating well and exercising well. It's a good idea, I think, even when you get up in the morning to do an eye-opening exercise, even though it could be difficult. I usually like to do about 10 or 20 minutes at the foot of the bed with only my cat to look at me and to smile at me. And cats do smile at you when they see you, the stuff. And I try to get down to the gym about two or three times a week also and do a really intense, good workout. But that's what I can manage it.
Yeah. And what do you do, like in that first thing, that eye-opening exercise in the morning? What do you do?
Okay. I do 25 to 50 push-ups. I do, basically, I'm not going to give the numbers. I'll say do the most you can manage.
Mm-hmm.
I do push-ups until I feel a burn. And sometimes I'll do it on a plank if I can, in other words, toes and knuckles or toes and hands. Or if I can't manage that, I will do it on hands and knees and still do the same. Then after that, lay on the side and do about 50 leg lifts on either side. And that's relatively easy, but it gets the muscles going. Or let's say do it until the laying on the side, your one arm under your head and the other one at the ball of your waist, and lift up and down, up and down.
I often tell my clients it's kind of like letting your car engine warm up in the mornings on a cold morning when you go out there.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, in a place like Texas, one doesn't have to let it warm up that often. But nonetheless, your point is very, very well taken. And then do some sit-ups, whatever you can manage. If you can manage to have your feet hooked under a bed or under a bureau, great. Or if you can't do that, and you're too old or out of shape, just kind of bend up at the waist as best you can, as many times as you can manage, until the muscles begin to get after spring feeling.
Right.
Then after that, I do a thing I remember from my football days, which were not very long because I was not that much of an athlete in college. on my back, and then I lift my legs up, out, in, down, but not touching the floor, out, in, up. And again, as many times until my stomach feels like it's burning.
Right.
And after
you're concentrating on your core, which they've proven is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Core muscles.
And one thing I found as I've gotten older is that my last exercise that I do is deep knee bends. And those, I've got to work hard at it. I used to be able to just do a couple dozen without even blinking. Now, it takes a little bit of concentration. Unfortunately, I have myself an old-fashioned four-poster bed, and so I do it with one hand ready to grab, or both hands ready to grab one of the posts to keep balance going. I can't, back in my military days, I could do it with a rifle on my shoulder and not supported by. Boy, I didn't appreciate just the how good the body was in those days, but it does. But that series is quite good, and it's fun to go for a walk also,
Every
other day to go for a walk, usually in the morning or in the evening. If there are mosquitoes out there, check in your outdoor supply place, which could be in some place like Walmart even, and get a couple of these little insect repellent bands that you could put on your wrist or something like that, and keep the critters away. Otherwise, they come in squadrons of fighter escort, I'll tell you.
Sure, living in Texas, I know they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Where I am up here in the mountains, we don't have a lot of mosquitoes.
We have ticks galore.
So.
have my envy totally and undivided. But it's good to go for a walk, about as good as you can manage. A quarter mile, if that's all I can manage. I like to do a mile or a mile and a half or something like that. And back in the old days when I was living in California, it was absolutely marvelous because I could go for a run on the beach for 3 to 5 miles every other day. And that was very, very nice. It got even particularly fascinating when the weather would set in and the beaches were empty and the sea was running wild and a bit of rain. And I would run through the surf. I always ran the surf. And running it in the rain was absolutely great. And people might not believe me, but I actually saw a mermaid at one time. But nobody would believe me. But I was the only person there. I was just wearing my running trunks, and she was just laying there, and it looked for all the world like seaweed, laying of a well-shaped woman with a tail curved around, probably about 9 feet long, all told. But I had no camera. It was raining. The tide was coming in. Nobody would believe me, so I don't tell the story very much, except on radio where there's all sorts of people listening who will not believe me anyhow.
Well, my daughter would believe you because she totally believes in mermaids and loves mermaids. And I try to foster that because I always tell her you never know in the world what there is. So to say absolutely that couldn't be or that skepticism never serves us. It's better to keep an open mind and never wonder where the magic in the world comes from.
Hans Christian Andersen, who wrote the original Little Mermaid, had it almost correct, but at the end of the story, the mermaid dissolves into foam. In actuality, I saw seaweed. But never mind. Hey, the foam is much more exotic, shall we say. But hey, I've been talking enough over here. Other than this, I've also had bees, and in California had oranges, grapefruit. I used to enjoy going out in the morning and picking a grapefruit to slice for breakfast. That was always good. And on one occasion, my younger son found a discarded birdhouse, which he put in our tree, in one of our trees. And he didn't get birds to move into it, but he had a swarm of bees move into it. And we had the best honey that I've ever tasted because we had grapefruit, orange, apple, roses. We had every possible tropical fruit. And the bees did the best with it. It was absolutely marvelous. And the interesting thing about the bees is that my younger son... by the way, I moved the bees from the birdhouse into a regular conventional beehive in a better part of the yard underneath the plum tree. And my younger son, who at that time was probably about 5 or 6, learned very rapidly how to tell what the bees were feeling, what they were doing, and what their mood was. And he would at times terrify his friends by dipping his hand into a little bit of honey or a little bit of syrup and easily sliding it into the beehive and bringing his hand out covered in bees. And he never got stung. But he told me that you've got to be careful. Bees and the entire hive has its moods. You don't try this on a hot day or when they are angry or when they're frustrated. But at other times, if you treat them with respect, they treat you with respect.
Well, cool.
It makes it very interesting. And my grandfather, by the way, had bees and his father before him. So I guess I was kind of holding on to some of the family traditions there. Well, but I never was able to get now I think I could understand what my grandfather did. Bees I won't say they're individuals. They are a hive, but they have their own emotions, and you can be friends with them, and they will let you have anything that you want. But leave them enough to get through the winter. Leave them enough nectar. Mm-hmm. And an old Russian cure, by the way, for arthritis was to be stung by bees or bitten ants. And
I remember that from when I was a kid.
Really? Okay. And as a matter of fact, there's been something... Oh, I think a woman recently who was cured from Lyme disease because by accident, a swarm of Africanized bees attacked her. And this was in Southern California, and she thought she was dead because for years she'd been fighting the Lyme disease. But oddly enough, after she recovered from the initial trauma of the bees, the Lyme disease went away. This is something that's not understood by the medical profession as yet, but nor the old Russian cure. But it's there. I don't know whether I would ever recommend it to anybody, but this is something that's going to be discovered in the near future, I think. Okay, over to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very interested in listening to you. Lee, do you have any specific questions for Ed?
Well, I not so much a question, but one of the members of our chat room wanted to make sure that we let Ed know. Her name is Glacius Frost, and she says that it's thanks to your book, Grimoire of Shadows, that's responsible for her turning onto the pagan path, and she just wants to send you a very warm, from her heart, thank you for being her introduction to paganism as a spiritual path.
Well, please give her my very best regards.
And I'm sorry, it's a he. I made a mistake.
What's that?
That's the problem with the internet. We just never know.
Very definitely, very definitely. Well, you know, part of my interest in all this, at one time I lived in Washington, D.C., and I would go to the Library of Congress and research out the ancient by medieval pagan medicines and cures, as well as the magical approach. And it was fascinating going to the Library of Congress and going to the rare book room and checking out a book and leafing through it under the watchful eye of a librarian, because you have no freedom. You can look at it, and that's it, and take notes. You cannot photograph it. But I learned an awful lot of things that are not known. It's as though, well, there were several things going. The medieval church did not like herbalism, because actually it was the wise women and a few of the doctors that were doing it. Mm-hmm. And also the Bible said that that humans must live a life of misery. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And so the medieval church tried to quash as much of this as they could. But nonetheless, it came through here and there. And if you read carefully some of the doctors that were held in high esteem by various noblemen, had these folk cures that they used a good bit. And of course, in ancient Roman times, or in Greek times, the medicine was brought to a high degree of sophistication, and the Romans, even though they had conquered Greece, they always had Greek doctors, because those were the best in the world at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had herbs, they had, it's hard to say, you know, so much has been lost, but they were able to do a lot, and they're rumored to have done a lot more, but right after a while, it fades off into the twilight, and it's fascinating, but you can't quite go all the way in this.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I try, and when I do my writing, I try and incorporate things like the werewolf cult in from the Transylvanian area. And there was one at the time because the economy there was sheep and cattle, and you had to have a defense against the wolves that came out of the mountain. And of course, they did not have steel traps. They did not have AK-47s or anything such as that.
Mm-hmm.
So there were several orders of magic and mystery, but very little is known about them. But they would train people to run with the wolves, and every 7 years, various members, I don't know how many, would go and join a wolf pack and live with them and steer the wolves up away from the farms and pastures up into the higher regions where they knew there would be natural prey for the wolves.
Awesome.
One of these very, very little known things, but I try and get some of the mystery and magic from the ancient days in my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in many cases I'm able to succeed. And I've got more on the line, but that's to be covered in upcoming books.
Oh, awesome. Well, we'll definitely look for more books from you. I'm looking at a bio on you. I've got it up on my second screen here, and I see four or five or six books that you've already written. I don't know if there are more than that. Is there any particular book that you would something that you've done recently that you want people to be aware of?
Well, this is a time of a recession, and it's hard to talk publishers into getting your books published. I have a book on a toned down version of the Grimoire of the Shadows that mm-hmm. should be printed and should be released by Llewellyn in a matter of a few months. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this one because you know it's a rough time financially for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on a novel just entirely for fun, but that's actually a couple of novels. And I would like very much to write a let me stumble over my own words over here. I give lectures on items like Viking shamanism and Mongolian shamanism. Now, Mongolian is almost not understood at all, and except for the fact that Genghis Khan actually was at the core of it. And nowadays, by the way, the Mongolians will wear talismans that have the image of Genghis Khan on them, which really causes a lot of heartburn for the Chinese Communist government, because the Mongols at various times in history have really stomped China. And I don't know how this is going to end, so the Chinese government is very, very uneasy about it. But nonetheless, I was able to acquire about 50 pages of Mongolian rituals that I am putting into a kind of a semi-Western form.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're strong people. It's like you'd say a harsh country, which that definitely is a harsh country, gives rise to harsh creeds and harsh shamanic practices. But nonetheless, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to give too much more in that one, except for the fact that apparently a lot of our Western peoples, that are people that are now in Western, they're extreme archaic ancestors. Came from the area of Siberia near Mongolia from about the time that the great ice sheets, the ice age, faded back. And they made the pilgrimage west across the infinite grasslands with their shamans and shamanesses who knew how to use the herbs, by the way. And it finally fetched up in the countries that we have as Western Europe nowadays, but also Eastern Europe in that area. Siberia is still Siberia, and the Russians have there's almost a supernatural regard for it. There's a folklore in which a child's tale in which a cat that is too wild, the peasant that owns him throws him out, but he's adopted by a fox these are very anthropomorphic animals, of course. And the fox tells all the animals that this particular individual is a tough guy from Siberia, and you better watch out for him. But by the way, you can buy me off by bringing food to put it in front of my house. And she terrorizes even the great bear and the boar. And I think they live happily ever after on the... I'm not sure exactly how that one ends, except for the fact that it's a children's tale, so consequently, they lived happily ever after. And the interesting thing about this one is that, so speaking of Russia and food and things like that, a tale that my grandmother told me, which apparently was quite true, was that back in the days of the Tsar, Trans-Siberian Railway was the one and only line of communication, and the Tsar's army, the soldiers would go all the way out to Vladivostok, which was one heck of a long way, and then after 10 years they'd come back and retire, but along the way there were several stop-offs that the train would stop overnight. And in this one particular tale, the inn that the train stopped by had marvelous meal, delicious food, steaks that the that were sold to the soldiers, and absolutely delicious. And the story is told that the innkeeper had served some of these delicious steaks, and some of the soldiers were sitting around. They said, you know, where did the steak come from? There's no meat on the train that came in, and there are no cattle around here. This is just empty grassland. Where did he have this? It's obviously been frozen, but let's kind of watch. So the soldiers kind of a few of the soldiers stepped out, and after it got dark, and they just kind of waited in the grass and watched, and they. The fellow that owned the inn came out and looked around and walked out and back into a door that went into what was obviously a deep tunnel. Mm-hmm. And he came out with an armload of meat just a bit later. So the soldiers got torches and lamps and went on in there, and they found the source of the meat. It was a woolly mammoth.
Oh my gosh!
And I don't really know what happened, because the soldiers probably figured that it was, hey, the meat is good, and we've never eaten elephant before, but why not? So
there you go. I
don't know if the story ever came out, but that one has always intrigued me. There's somebody, mm-hmm. probably in the Russian government, some of the archives that. Maybe have the end of the tale on that one. The church would not approve of it, but the soldiers loved it.
On that note, we are on the half hour, and we have a great song, Affirmation by Jenna Green. So if we all want to take a break really quick and do whatever business we need to do, and we can come right back.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. And hang on there, Ed. We'll be right back.
Outstanding.
Resounds in me. I set myself free. Love and openness are in me. listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello, how are you all? We are back from the break. Ed, are you still with us, sir?
I'm still with you, sir.
Hi.
Listening.
Okay. Lisa, you still there?
Oh, I'm still here.
Excellent. I just checking because, you know, Blog Talk Radio has been a little bit hinky recently. So I just want to make sure that everybody's still with us. Okay.
Oh,
Ed, are you going to be making any appearances this summer where people could come and hear you speak if they wanted to?
Oh, let me see. I believe that in September, I'm going. Well, let's see. In September, I'll be going to one of them. And actually, I believe Marie is arranging the details of this one. I'll probably have to pass that one on to her, and otherwise dodge the issue.
Okay, well,
I do show up a couple times. I had an accident, and so consequently, I was not able to make it to the Gathering of Pagan Souls, and for which I'm very sorry.
Oh, but, hey, these things happen.
But, however, the doctor said, okay, you've got to take this therapy and all this medicine and what have you. And I figured, oh, geez, not a catheter. No. So I decided that my body would heal itself if I gave it a chance. And so being very careful, mm-hmm. I'm back to 99% of my normal health. And, hey, and I just saw the doctor today as a follow-up, and he said, hey, you're doing great. Keep up the good work. We could operate, but on the other hand, it looks like you're curing yourself. So what are you curing myself? And that's the way it
goes. Excellent.
Actually, what had happened with me back about 1990 or 92, something like that, I think 92, I had a minor heart attack. And because things were going wrong, my marriage had broken up very, very sadly. And I had a house to take care of and kids to take care of, and I was unemployed and all the rest of it. And I was scratching along, and eventually I did some magical work and got jobs that kept me going well until the world looked up again. But what was very interesting on this one is that the doctor gave me medications to even out the heart and said, okay, you've got to start doing regular workouts. Again, you'd fallen off from it for a few years there. But now it's time for you to go with it again. And so from that point of time, I began working out regularly. And my heart is stronger than ever right now. And, hey, I feel great.
That's wonderful.
Just
a little bit of business. I was just reminded by our illustrious engineer that to make the correction to some of the stuff that played at the break there, the Thursday night show Under a Shady Tree is no longer Terry and Onyx. It is now Terry and I doing that show. So I wanted to just quickly point that out for anybody who is confused. And the reason I asked about your appearances, Ed, was I know that Terry and I were looking forward to meeting you at Horn and Honey, and I had spoken to Marie, and that was another thing that you had to, sort of say, well, I can't do it this time around. But I did want to say that, you know, I'm sorry that we weren't going to meet you there.
I would like very much on that one. Unfortunately, the doctor told me to take it easy for a little while, and frankly,
yeah.
I'm way ahead of schedule, but never mind. That's another matter.
Yeah.
So let's just leave that one in abeyance for right now, and we'll discuss
okay.
it more later on.
That's
and,
good.
Oh, yeah. Other random thoughts occurred to me when I lived in Southern California.
Okay.
We had chickens, and they came to us by mistake almost because the family was moving away from their small ranch and said, hey, we need somebody to take our chickens. So I took the chickens, and so my boys grew up with chickens, and hence meant that they were made immune to several of the common civilized illnesses that kids tend to get, like chickenpox. And I had what I used to laughingly call my chicken coven, 13 hens and a rooster.
When we spoke the other day, did I mention to you that last Sunday we got gifted with 6 chickens? And my first experience with chickens, and I'm loving them. They're so sweet. To me, anyway, not so sweet to each other sometimes, but it's quite an interesting thing to observe their behavior towards each other and towards me. And I'm really actually falling in love with the chickens, aside from the fact that they're, you know, providing us with eggs, which I took a dozen eggs down to Lee's house. And I just
came home. So delicious. So delicious.
A good breakfast this morning with the chickens' eggs.
Well, it was interesting. I was working for Rockwell Corporation, and we were getting far more eggs than I could ever manage. And so I would bring in a dozen eggs a couple times a week and give them to my coworkers, other engineers. And everybody insisted that my eggs had a marvelously good taste to them and a good texture, and they were some of the best they'd ever had. So,
yeah.
Hey. Chickens are useful to have. Of course, parts of Southern California, there are a lot of people with chickens, and which is good. Oh, interestingly enough, my younger son, again, at the time that he was about 5 or 6, would play with the chickens a lot. He'd go into the chicken yard and talk to them and set up fantasy games with them. I don't know why. I could hear a little bit of it. But the thing is, the chickens got to know him and love him, and they would actually sing for him.
Oh,
now,
that's adorable.
It's not the kind of singing that humans normally do, but they would all begin going, whenever he would show up. They obviously loved him, and they would talk with him.
Oh, that's awesome. Ed, not to interrupt you, I apologize, but I do have Marie on the line with us here in on the radio, and she has some information about where you're going to be appearing since she was
oh,
in the chat room.
Great.
We're going to bring her in so we can talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Marvelous.
Marie, are you there, sweetie?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So Ed is going to be appearing, hopefully, in Indianapolis in September. It's with the same producer of Horns and Honey. I want to give a shout out to Morgan. Morgan, you're going to have a great event.
Absolutely.
And I also wanted to mention a couple things that I think you guys should know. First of all, we are absolutely proud to say that in his 70s, Ed still has a six-pack. And that's our testament to witchcraft and wellness.
Absolutely.
And one of the important things that we've talked about and that we are trying to do with witchcraft and wellness is we have allied with the Obesity Action Coalition. And we are trying to empower pagans specifically to eat healthier, but to also help them through prejudice because of their weight.
Mm-hmm.
To help them with dealing with shaming, and to help them get a better body image, because nobody has a perfect body, you know? I think what everybody is striving for is a healthy body, and what we're really thrilled about with Ed is that he's in such good shape, and he's been in good shape for most of his life, and, you know, it's a lifestyle that's allowed him to do amazing things, like go rock climbing and exploring in exotic places, and dancing and really enjoying his life, while a lot of the other elders who are even younger than him are suffering from grave illnesses or passing away. And I think it was probably the loss of Peter Padden recently and of Donald Michael Craig that really inspired us to say, you know what, we need to talk about health now because we don't want to lose our people, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you know, because we've talked a little bit about this, I'm kind of passionate about myself. I just was at the Florida Pagan event, looking around at people there, I was thinking to myself, wow, these people live in Florida, it's warm, it's sunny, you think of like healthy running on the beach like Ed was talking about in California, but just the opposite was true. When I looked around, I just thought, wow. And one of my good friends, Marcy, actually was a volunteered there in the kitchen. And after the event, she looked at me and she said, people so need your help. They eat the worst food that we put out. Everything that we put out that was like junk was gone. And all the like the green vegetables and the good food for them, the fresh food, they left. And she was just appalled. She's listened to me, you know, yammer over the years about food and she's a holistic healer herself, so she knows the value. And watching all these, you know, important pagan people eat sort of freaked her out a little bit. They're all eating junk food. So, yes, it's definitely something we all need to talk about more inside our community.
Well, it's strange because we use herbs and fruits and vegetables in magic, and when we are offering to the gods, we give them the best of everything.
Right. Right.
And yet we deny ourselves that, and yet our whole goal as magical people is to aspire to become more like the deities that we connect with.
Yes.
So, and a question that I wanted to bring up for Ed is a lot of people have been telling me that the reason why they overeat is because they're psychic and they need to ground. And so that extra weight keeps them grounded. Is that true or is that a myth?
Oh, that's one way of doing it, but there are better ways, frankly. And other ways would be to do a walk, do a workout. Now, of course, a cup of coffee is one of my favorite ways of grounding after doing some particularly far-out magical work. But yes, you can eat, but do not overeat. Do not overeat, because in the long run, it is going to come back and hit you.
Yeah.
And your heart might need it, especially as you get older. You'll have more and more problems. So you've got to be reasonable. The ancient Greek style, all moderation in all things. Yes, you can allow yourself to get a bit heavier in your senior years, but by a bit heavier means you, not willowy and not, you could become maybe a little bit zoptic, but that's about it, period.
Mm. One of the things I encourage people to do is when you, let's say you do buy a package of, you know, cookies or something, is to look at what the manufacturer intends the portion to be. So if you're looking even at, you know, whole grain, holistic or organic cookies, they still tell you two is a portion or four is a portion. And to maybe follow that recommendation, if not put it, not cut it in half. So if it's four, maybe you have two. Because I don't think that deprivation is the key. Every once in a while, we all need to have a little treat. Like you said, Ed, moderation, be reasonable. That just because you're going to ground and you're going to have cakes and ale doesn't mean you get to have 15 cakes.
Oh, come on. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. I'd be sick if I ate 15 cakes.
It's also good to leave at the table a little bit hungry. You know, don't pack yourself for the bulkheads. Put some of it off in the refrigerator for later use, but eat a moderate amount, just until you cease being hungry and let it go. Or maybe even just a little bit hungry when you leave. You don't need an enormous amount of food. That is a habit, and eating is a habit. So, and also I must say that saying you've got to overeat horrendously is because you've got to ground yourself. Well, yes, but, you know, there are better ways of doing it than that. I'll just leave it at that one for the time being. By the way, speaking of food and things like that, one of the customs that we had in my cupboard for a long time is that we would have, for each of the eight high holidays, we would have food based on the colors for that holiday. And in the harvest season, we would have a feast of all yellow food and yellow wine. Mm. If it was springtime, then it was lots of greens and green foods. If it was Yule time, then in that case, the traditional food was good, but work a few little pastries in there because it's the winter time and your system does need a bit more in the way of fuel. And you can make the various festivals with you can assign the color. It's an exercise for the student. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see. What else is there that I haven't covered? Oh yes, one thing that you should really have is whatever you do, have enthusiasm for it. You be on fire. Always have a project or something. Always have something that you really enjoy, a hobby, a life work, a novel you've always wanted to work on, and all of this. I believe the Bible said something, and I cannot remember the exact word about it, but whatever it said, something to the effect that whatever you do it with enthusiasm. Do it with all your soul, which is a great way of doing it. So,
we talked the other night about music and drumming and how important it is to find something that feeds your soul, whether it's a hobby or music or whatever it is, to couple that in with your exercise. And it's all about being well-rounded and keeping yourself happy so you don't get out of balance.
Absolutely. There's much that you can do. Oh, it puts in mind a judge on you was a witch, although most people that you worked with did not know it. But he had started off, worked his way through law school years ago as a musician and was a very accomplished musician and loved music. So his style of working magic was to set up an altar and an easy chair. The altar had a few basic things on it that included a picture or a sample of what he wanted to accomplish, what he wanted to do. And then he would put on a record of some absolutely gorgeous music that moved him, and then he would just sit there for 45 minutes and stare down, totally entranced by the music and totally looking at what he wanted to accomplish. And he always had a very, very good set of results. Mm. But, it's another approach. There are many approaches. There's many ways of working magic. They've got the different traditions of witchcraft, of Wicca, voodoo, of Santeria, what have you. They all aim for the same thing, but the tools are somewhat different working there. That's a key thing. Should drink a bit of water right about now. But
no, go ahead.
You know what, Robin? I will take this opportunity to do a little business.
Okay.
While our guest has a little quench there.
Mm-hmm.
A little libation, yes. I'm sure everybody knows, but we'll repeat it again. If you have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to send an email to cern.org@gmail.com. You can also reach us at the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook, spiritualunityradionetwork.org if you want to listen in for shows or go to the archives. Also, you can reach Robin and I at Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on Facebook. And you can reach Robin and our engineer Terry at littlestonebridge@gmail.com or Littlestone Bridge Path Workings page on Facebook. So pretty much if you can get onto Facebook, you can find us because we're everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Now, this question is for either Ed or Maria. I think you're still with us. If somebody needed or wanted to get in touch with Ed for some reason, how would be a really good way for them to do that?
Ed has his own Facebook profile. He also has a group called Ed Fitch Magic. And that would be a way to initially contact him. He also has his own website called Ed Fitch Magic. Go ahead, Ed.
Just wanted to say I am on Facebook, and I also have a site or a blog that deals with science and magic, because I'm actually a retired engineer. With my degree is in physics, and the interesting thing is, I guess what a person very often goes in for. Right brain for the first half of his life, and then into left brain for the other half, something along that line. So, hey, it makes life interesting. You, life is always got to be interesting. That's the key thing.
That's true. That's very true. Ed, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this evening and taking time out of your busy life there. And Marie, thank you as well for being here and being Johnny on the spot with the information that we needed. You guys have been awesome this evening. Is there anything that you'd like to say in closing, Ed?
Be healthy. Work out. Enjoy life. Enjoy life and be healthy. How's that? Oh, enjoy.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Robin?
Yes, Marie.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Witchcraft and Wellness community. We have a Facebook group called Witchcraft and Wellness, and I just wanted to tell your listeners that you will be posting and putting up your blogs and sharing many things about health and spirituality with us. And so we're really excited that you're joining us on this health journey. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. I think we're going to have a lot of fun together. And again, that's Witches and Wellness, and that's a Facebook page. And, you know, if you guys get a chance, go out, check out the page, and like it so we know that you were there. And
it's Witchcraft and Wellness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, Witchcraft and Wellness. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I made the same mistake the first couple of times, too, but it's Witchcraft and Wellness.
Witchcraft and Wellness.
So welcome to the WWW family.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Also, before we go, I should probably mention that Terry and I will be appearing at Horn and Honey, and we'll be speaking there. We're going to be teaching our series on communication and the I Forgive class, as well as, sexual submission. Yeah, boy, my brain is shot tonight. I had too much sugar this last couple of days. Traveling.
Sure. Blame it on me. You were at my house. I have all the refined sugar at my house. You were eating the Catalina dressing. Not me.
I ate it. It's my fault. I ate it. I'll own it.
Sexual submission, is that 50 Shades of Grey?
Sort of, yeah.
I want to go.
Well, you're more
now.
Than welcome to come.
Hagen, 50 Shades of Grey, I'm there.
Oh, absolutely.
Robin's been teaching that class
for a long time.
Long before 50 Shades of Grey was even a spark in E.L. James's mind.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Yeah. From 1980 to about 1983, my history, my college education, I always say, was that I worked as a professional dominatrix in Manhattan at a club called La Seine.
Wow.
In lieu of a college education.
If I may interrupt, I have a lecture that I did not give myself, but that a former fiancé of mine gave a superb, from a feminist viewpoint, sex and magic, and sexual magic. And it's something that should be given by a woman. And when I see you next, I'll bring along a copy of the entire thing and we'll discuss it, because it's something that that I don't think I could give.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the full background on it here. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, that I credit that time in my life with learning how to pull down a persona. That was the first time I experimented with that innately, where I would reach out for whatever energy and that having to be that person every day that I really wasn't in my real life. But, you know, this is how I was making a living. It was 1980, and I had chosen not to go to college and instead move into the Greenwich Village and, you know, decided to work at this club, and I was making really good money doing it, and I was having a blast. I mean, I was, you know, 20 years old. So it was a lot of fun. And yeah, someday, Ed, when we get together, we'll sit down and we'll talk. And I would love to see that information. That would be awesome.
Okay. I'll have it for you. So when we get together.
Terrific. All right. It is 11:01. And again, I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Lee, is there any other business we need to wrap up before we go?
Nope. Business-wise, I think we're good.
Oh, I'm getting a message from our
engineering, yes.
Engineer. We will be running a live remote from Horn and Honey of the radio show on the 27th, I believe.
Oh, what night is that? Is that the Saturday?
The Saturday night of Horn and Honey. And also on the 13th, Terry and I will be going down for the soft opening of Ivo Dominguez's Akashic Library. So we'll be there for that as well. And that's a wonderful cause. And probably this show with Ed will wind up at the library with his permission. And I'll send you guys a letter about that later. We're trying to preserve as much as we can with the library. And Ivo has agreed to take our shows and have them available in the future for people down there to take out and listen to. And, of course, it's free. It works just like a library. But anyway, so we'll talk about that, and hopefully we can get this one downloaded down to the library and preserve Ed's conversation tonight for in perpetuity. So,
I do want to just really quick send out one more little, and I'm sorry to Mr. Frost on mistaking his Ms. instead of a Mr., and it was a pleasure to meet him and talk to him, and Ed, it was such a pleasure to listen to you. You're absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, and again, thanks for coming on the show, Ed and Marie, and we hope to have you back real soon.
Looking forward.
Okay. All right, you guys, good night very much. Good night, and thank you very much. I can talk. And as always, everybody, spread the love. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.